First day of the week. 1 Kings chapter 10. And let me make a statement to you. It's so profound. God's way is always the best way. I'm going to say it again. Oh, it's not the only way. Somebody said it's the only way. Oh, no, no. There's other ways to do stuff. You can do it the wrong way or you can do it the right way. We can do it God's way or we can try to figure it out ourselves and do it our way. But the best thing to do is to study the way God set it up. Do it God's way, and then watch God bless it, even if it doesn't seem to be the best way. Let me say that again. God made us. Let me say that one again. God made all of mankind. He put things in us and put emotions in us and put our mind in us. He created us. We didn't form from some amoeba. He created us. Would you agree with that? Now, I'm not going down that tangent, but He created us. And then He gave us a book to teach us how we could best perform. And if we'll do it this way, then God will bless this way, even if we can think of what we think is a better way. Well, I'm not going to do it God's way, because if I do it God's way, I think I know a better way. If you do it God's way, then He'll bless His way. Would you agree with that statement? Look at 1 Kings chapter 10. Stay right with me. Look at verse 1. When the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. Notice that. She had heard of Solomon, but evidently she had also heard how the Lord had blessed him. She came to prove him with hard questions. Now, statement. Any question she has was not too hard for the Lord. We can't ask a question too hard for the Lord. So she came with hard questions. And Solomon, who was filled with God's wisdom, began to answer her question. Look at verse 4. Verse 4. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built. And don't miss verse 5. And the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. She was taken back, evidently. She heard his wisdom. She saw the servants, their attendants, their order, their organization, their attitude, and it just, I'll say it in the vernacular term, it floored her. It impressed her. Verse 8. She said this as she walked around and said, hey, it's true everything I've heard. Verse 6 and 7. And then she said this. She was an observant. No doubt the Queen of Sheba was a leader, and she noticed something that many would not notice. Verse 8, she said this, happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. You know what she noticed? She noticed the order. She noticed the attendance. She noticed, if you would, the organization. She noticed their attitude. And she said this, you have a happy kingdom. You have a happy organization here. You have happy servants. You have contented men and women that stand before you. They hear your wisdom. They're ordered. They have good attitudes. Hey, have you ever seen a family and said, that's a good family? Look at the attitude of those children. They seem happy. They seem like they're contented. They seem like they have a good time. They seem like their attitude is there's order in the family. There's order to the children, if you would. But they also seem happy. Have you ever noticed another family where you said, something's wrong with that family? Those kids don't seem happy. They don't seem like they have a good attitude, a good spirit. They almost seemed oppressed. See, the Queen of Sheba came, and being a leader, she knew when she saw the order, the organization, and the attitude, she had no more spirit in her. She was seeing what God could do God's way. And she noticed, if you would, a wonderful spirit and attitude about that particular organization. Now, let me make a statement to you. God set it all up. There's nothing wrong with having organization and order in our Christian organizations. Hey, there ought to be order to our marriages. There ought to be order to our businesses. There ought to be order to our families. There ought to be order to our ministries and our church. Would you agree with that? Hey, when you walk in here, you ought to see a happy crowd. I hope you see some people with smiles on their faces and not oppressive about being in church. We get to come to church. We get the opportunity to be at church. Now, statement. You may say, well, I walked by and saw that sourpuss face on that person over there. They were having a bad day. Everybody's allowed one or two bad day Sundays a year. Everybody in here, you can come to church a couple of Sundays a year and have a bad day. It's okay. But the other 50 Sundays, you ought to have a pretty good spirit about you. Everybody goes through some oppression. Everybody goes through some downtime. Everybody goes through some trouble. Everybody goes through some trials, if you would. Everybody gets oppressed once in a while. But we ought to not walk around church and walk around our family all the time like the world's going to cave in. Which it is. Let me say that again. The world is going to cave in. It's going to cave in on itself. But God's got another one planned. Well, it's just world. The world's going to fall apart. The world's going to blow up. The world's going to cave in. The world. We already know what's going to happen to the world. But we know the consistency in Jesus Christ, and we believe He's creating a new heavens and a new earth, and everything's going to be all right. I just happen to believe everything's going to be all right in our families. Everything's going to be all right in our marriages. Everything's going to be all right in our businesses. Everything's going to be all right in our finances if we do it God's way. Now, I'm not saying everything's going to be perfect all the time. You couldn't tell that to Job when he was going through his. But it was going to come out okay in the long run. It was going to come out okay in the end. God put him through something, but in the end, it was going to come out okay by doing it God's way with God's will. And may I say to you, it's going to come out okay for you if we continue to do it God's way, God's will, and we ought to work on our spirit and our attitudes and get organized with His wisdom. Look, if you would, at 1 Kings chapter 3. The Queen of Sheba showed up. She knew leadership when she saw it, but notice where it came from. Stay with me. 1 Kings chapter 3, and you may say, man, my life's disordered right now. It's all out of sync right now. It's all messed up. May I show you a solution? 1 Kings chapter 3. We all right here today? 1 Kings chapter 3, look at verse 7. Verse 7. Notice what God and Solomon are working out here. And now, O Lord my God, Thou hast made Thy servant king instead of David my father. And notice what Solomon says. And I am but a little child. Little in his own eyes, which is good. It's good to stay little in our own eyes. I know not how to go out or come in. Here's what he's saying. I have just been made king, Lord, and I don't know what I'm doing. Is that what you read there? Let's read it again. Somebody says, it's old English. I don't understand it. All right, look what it says. I am but a little child. I got that part. Amen? I know not how to go out or come in. Here's what he was saying. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to be king. You may have just got raised up, promoted. You may have just became, a new father, a new mother, responsibility. You may be planning on getting married. Or something's coming up in your life that you say, hey, I've never been in this job promotion or in this business or in this ministry. I've never done that before. Well, neither have the rest of us. I've never been a pastor before. I wasn't a pastor in my previous life. Stay with me. You say, what were you in your previous life? Unborn. We all right with that? I never know how to do this. And by the way, somebody says, well, boy, I'm going to become a husband. I don't know how to be a husband. Welcome to the crowd. How do you learn how to become a husband? By being a husband. And letting your wife teach you everything. Thank you, ladies. Thank you. Thank you. I'd get a handkerchief out for that one. Amen. Ladies, if you don't teach him how to be a good husband, he won't be a good husband. And men, if you don't let her teach you, you're a fool. Big points with the women this morning, amen? I'm racking up those points. God can give Solomon wisdom how to be a king. God can give you wisdom on how to be whatever it is that you're supposed to be next. And the Bible says, verse 8, and the servant and thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen a great people. Let me interpret that. He says, I'm going to be king. I don't know what I'm doing. And there's a whole lot of people to lead here that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord. Whenever we think we got it handled, whenever we think we don't need God, God can back away from us and things can begin to fall apart. But when we get little again in our own eyes and realize we don't know how to come out and go in, and that the work in front of us is a great work, we can ask God and say, Lord, it's me, it's thy servant. I don't quite know what to do next. I've never been this past before, but I know you've worked with millions before me in the same predicament, and you can help me. But I need you, Lord. Because I don't know how to go out, and I don't know how to come in. Verse 11, and God said unto him, because thou hast not asked this thing, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, riches, nor thou hast the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding. You know what he says? Verse 12, I've done according to thy words. I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart. And then he says, not only have I given you that, but I'm giving you some things you haven't asked for. Because you ask for the most important thing. Because you ask for wisdom, which is the principal thing. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Verse 13, he says, I've also given you things you haven't asked for. Riches and honor. And he goes on to describe what's going to happen. When the Queen of Sheba shows up, she sees and hears the wisdom that God has given Solomon. But remember, Solomon said, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to do this. I've never led this big a crowd before. Hey, for a mother and father, if you just became one, I don't know how to raise a child. Neither did the rest of us. I don't know how to be a husband. I don't know how to be a wife. I don't know how to be a ministry leader. I don't know how to be this in the job. I don't know how to be that. I don't know how to be old. Neither do the rest of us. We've never been old before. And if you ask us, we're not old now either. It's all relative. I used to think 40, done, finished, gone. When I was 15, I thought, you're 40? Man, you are old. You just begin life when you're 40. Right? Somebody says, well, yeah, and you'll just begin life when you're 50, and you'll just begin life when you're 60. And yeah, that's the way we got to look at it, right? The idea is, none of us have never been this far in our lives before. But God has worked with millions before us. And if we'll yield ourselves to Him more, He can give us the wisdom to know what to do with our lives at this point in time. Look, if you would, look at First Kings chapter 4. Stay with me. First Kings chapter 4. And notice what he says. I like this little phrase. First Kings chapter 4, verse 29. Verse 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. Do you know what made his servants so happy? It was the wisdom, it was the understanding, but it was also that enlarged heart that God gave Solomon. That's what made those servants so happy. Because they were working with a leader who had, God had enlarged their heart. More grace, more charity, more comfort, more caring, more notice. More appreciation. I don't know what it all means, but I know that God can enlarge our heart. And when the leader has a large heart, whether it be male or female, all those that are led by that leader enjoy it. And they're happy. And it's wonderful. Even though the leader doesn't know what he or she is doing. Let me go back to that again. Well, you know, if I would have known what I know now back then, I know. How many have said that? I mean, if I just would, I think, okay, I'm coming up on 50 in a couple of years. Man, if I just would have known now, known then what I know now, if I would have known at 30 what I know now at 50, I could have really got something done in my life. Let me say that again. Here I am coming up on 50. A couple of years, year and a half. If I would have known back at 30 what I now know at 50, man, I could have really got some things done. Bad thought. Bad thought. Why? Because I did what I could for those 20 years. And I still got 20 more years. Why not take it now and say, Lord, I've never been here before. I've never been at this place before. I don't care if you're leading something that you consider small or something you consider large. Doesn't matter. I don't care where you're at in your life. You can go to God right now and say, I've never been here before. I've never been here before with all these opportunities coming up. And I want some opportunities, Lord. I'm not done yet. Maybe I messed up somewhere along the trail, but I'm not finished yet. You can still recover me. You can still use me. You can still help me with largeness of heart, wisdom, and understanding. Maybe I can't be Solomon, but I can be somebody. And the only way to be somebody is to become a nobody. Let me say it again. The only way to become a somebody is to become a nobody. Be like a little child saying, I don't know how to go out, and I don't know how to come in. Because if in your heart you're saying, I got this all handled. I don't even know if I need God. God can see that. And say, hey, you want to do it yourself, big boy? Go ahead. You'll need me later. It is better to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I need an enlarged heart. I need wisdom from you. I need understanding. I need everything, God, that you have available. And I'd like you to put it together your way, organization, if you would, attitude, get it all in order the way you want it to be, and I'll just stay a little child and watch you do it. Now, somebody in here last week thought, I just don't know how to do it. I don't know how to live the rest of my life. I don't know how to go from this place where I'm at now to this responsibility in front of me. I don't know how to go from where I'm at now to what I think God might have me to do. I don't know how to handle it. I don't know what to do with it. Where do you learn? How do you learn? Everybody's been there. Somebody says, I'm 65, I don't know how to turn 70. Neither do the rest of us. We've never done it yet. Somebody says, yeah, I can tell you how to do that. Well, then go see them. Hey, can anybody in here teach me how to die? Let me ask that again. Is there any experts on dying here? Somebody says, well, I can't. Right. Nobody here knows how to die. We don't have any experience with that. Would you say amen? Unless you're already dead, then you don't have to say anything. Nobody here knows how to die. But do you know how many millions God has taken through death? He knows how to do it. The Holy Spirit knows how to help His saints to die. Well, I'm afraid of dying. I don't know how to do it. I've never done it before. And by the way, probably you didn't wake up this morning saying, you know what, I'm going to think about dying this morning. Yeah, I better get ready to die. I better start studying about how to die this morning. I doubt if anybody woke up thinking that way. You say, that's ridiculous. But when it comes to it, when you find out whatever it is, they say, now wait a minute, preacher, can't we just go through the trumpet blowing routine and the voice of the archangel and just rapture? Yeah, we could, but there's a good chance that we won't. We all right this morning? It is Memorial Day. Don't we do something on Memorial Day? Isn't it about remembrances? About what people have already passed on before us? Isn't that what Memorial Day is all about? Hey, brethren, Memorial Day is not a speedway race. Memorial Day is not just a picnic. Hello? Memorial Day is we remember those that have gone before us. And we learn a little bit. But they've never been through it before either. And God helped them. And God can help us. Solomon had never, ever been king before. Oh, he'd watched his dad David, but he'd never been king before. He never sat on the throne. He never been through the coronation. He never built a temple before. He never had the Queen of Sheba show up and ask him questions before. He never done any of that before. And some of the things you're facing right now, you and I have never done before. I've never been a grandpa before, but I are one now. But I don't know how to be a good grandpa. I guess I got a few years to figure it out. Better yet, may I just go to the Lord and say, Lord, I can't figure it out. Show me how to be a good grandpa. And put whatever you put in grandpa so I can be a good grandpa. You see, I just believe that God can make us whatever we're supposed to be because He created us. And He knows all the roles that we're supposed to have, whether you're male or female, and He can put in you what you need to be in your personality for whatever roles you have in your life, whether it's business, whether it's grandpa, whether it's husband, whether it's wife, whether it's ministry leader, whether it's a widow. Whatever role you're supposed to have right now, God can make you into that. He can order us. He can organize us, and He can give us a good attitude about it. Well, if I just would have done this and did this and known that, but you didn't. So why not start right now and say, you know what? It's time to get those thoughts out of my brain. Well, if I would have known this, and if I would have known that, and if I could have done this, and if I could have done that, I would have never made those choices. I would have never been where I am right now. But here we are. And we can't turn back the hands of time. You cannot, if you're 50, you cannot go back and be 30 again. I cannot go back and have hair again. Oh, okay. Yeah. I could go and get, you know, all the stuff and everything and make it, you know, look like it, you know, and it would look like it. But my hair is graying and falling out. I mean, I can put the stuff on it and make it grow maybe again, but it might not grow. Why get disappointed? Why do I want to look young again? I got a wife. She's okay with me. Check the other day. I'm a grandpa. Why should I look 25? Hello? Are you listening to me? Everybody's looking for the fountain of youth. Better to look for the fountain of wisdom. For where you're at right now. Because here's what happened. Oh, here I am almost 50. My life is passing me by. Oh, this is terrible. If I only would have known back at 30 what I know now. You know what? That could mess up 20 years. Because contentment is so important with the Lord. Here's where I am, Lord. I wish I would have known more earlier. I wish I would have had a better walk earlier. I wish I would have known what I knew now back then. But I didn't. How about from right on here on out, Lord, right now, from here on out, help me to redeem the time and be the best I can be. Help me to stay like a little child. Help me not to know how to go out and come in all the time. Help me to go back to You and ask for more wisdom with what's next. Help me to have a good spirit and a good attitude so those that work around me and those that I work with, that I can be happy around them and they can be happy around me. Enlarge my heart, Lord. Give me wisdom. Order things. Help this thing the rest of my life. You say, well, I don't have to worry about it. I'm only 25. I got the rest of my life. Wonderful. Great. You're learning things that we wish we would have known. You can do more. But you're going to have your faults along the way, too. And you're going to have your failures. And you're going to have your trials. And you're going to have your shortcomings. But when you do, your life's not over. God is very gracious. He's got more grace than we can use up. And that's why it's so wonderful to be a Christian. Even when you feel like you messed up everything, you can go back and say, Lord, would You forgive me and would You rework everything and give me another shot at it? And I see over and over in this Bible that He will. I just got something last week that God gave me that I added to my repertoire of prayers that I pray. And it was a wonderful thing. I'm still learning about it. But that's exciting to me. It just freshened my whole prayer life when God gave me that one little phrase in that Bible and opened my understanding to something. And it was like a kid going into a new candy store going, man, I got to study this. This book never gets old. The wisdom of God is never used up. He's got things in reserve for us and stored up for us that when we get a little older, a little older, a little older, it'll still excite us. You want to see a guy excited come tonight? Gilbert Anger's excited. He's excited right now because he sees things opening up right now for missions. I like to be around excited people. God littles us. God humbles us. God gets us small. And then He says, now let me open up your next phase of your life to you. and let me grant you wisdom and a good spirit and an enlarged heart. And here's who you're going to work with, and here's what you're going to be doing. And here's the excitement you need to do it, because I have more for you to do in the next phase of your life. Well, Lord, I don't know if I want to look at it. I'd rather turn around and look at all the things I should have been doing up to this point in time that I didn't do, that I should have known, that I haven't done. When are you going to let that go? When are you going to decide, all right, that's done now. If I would have known, I wouldn't have done that. If I would have had that wisdom, I wouldn't have done that. If I would have known now, I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have treated him that way. I wouldn't have done that. Well, okay, great, done, finished. Now let's move on. Let's go on with what he has, and let's press towards the mark in front of us. And let's see what God will do. If God can take a little shepherd boy and make him into a mighty leader of millions, why can't he use you in a greater way? We've got people sitting in here that I don't know how long in the future, but some of you all will be heading for the mission field. I don't know who that is, but somebody in here will be heading to the mission field in the next 5 years, and you don't even know who you are. You say, I don't know how to be a missionary. Wonderful. God specializes in people that don't know how to do what they're supposed to do. He'll take the weak, the foolish. You say, okay, I've fit in that category so far. He'll take the confused. He'll take the base things. And he uses that to confound the world. He took little Gideon at that threshing floor and made him into a mighty general. He took little David. He took Nehemiah, that cupbearer, just the king's cupbearer, and made him into a wall builder, a leader of wall builders, a leader of leaders. He took a couple of fishermen and made them into apostles. Made them into preachers. And the Bible says the comment was, they're turning the world upside down. He's not done with you yet. He's not done with our church yet. He's not done with your family yet. He's not done with your marriage yet. He's not done with your life yet. Unless you're done. Unless you've already finished. Unless you're just waiting out your time. But may I say, if you're in here this morning, you're in a church that's just not biding its time. We do not have an attitude in our church that we're just waiting it out till the end. Somebody says, what are you doing as a Christian? I'm just waiting for the Lord to come back. Well, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just waiting. Well, what do you do while you're waiting? Well, watch TV, eat, sleep, make money, spend money, show up to church because I have to, just waiting for the Lord to come back. What kind of life is that? Man, we got plans. We've got a vision. We've got something for our next generation, the generation after that we're thinking about. We've got a lot of things going on that we're excited about, but not everybody will like it. Not everybody will want to. Some people just want to be lazy the rest of their lives. I don't want to be thought of as lazy. I don't want our church to be thought of as a lazy church. Do you understand lazy? Lazy is, I know there's a Bible, but I'm not reading it. Lazy is, I know I'm supposed to pray, but I'm not praying. Lazy is, I know you're supposed to have a vision, but you know what? I don't care. Lazy is, I got money, but it's mine, mine, all mine. That's lazy. Would you agree with that? I don't want a lazy church. I don't want to be part of a lazy church. I want to be a church that says, I've got some money, where can I invest it? Who can I invest it in? What mission fields open up in my generation? Where could I go and get a burden for somebody else's soul? I got a Bible, I'm going to read it. I got some prayer, I'm going to pray it. It's church time, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be around people that are going to do something with their lives, and I'm not going to get around the bitter, grudging, everything's wrong, it's everybody else's fault crowd. Nothing worked, nothing's going to work, nothing's ever been worked, they're all fakes and fools anyways. We may be all fools, but we're not all fakes. You still all right with this? Hey, Memorial Day is to remember those who died before us, not to be dead. God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. And by the way, all those that died in Christ are still alive and are more alive now than they were down here. You see, this is just a test. This is just a proving ground to eternity. This isn't it. This isn't even close to being it. This isn't the end of my life. No, it's the end of your vapor. It's the end of your moment. It's the end of your pilgrimage. It's the end of a short period of time. And out in front of us, all eternity, you say, what will happen out there? I don't think God will show us because we couldn't handle it. It's all we can handle in this life with the little finite things down here that we have to concern ourselves with. He'll reveal it more when we're ready. But I don't think it's going to be boring. Well, I don't know. I just think we'll get bored after 10,000 years praising God. Your mind won't even be the same. Look up here. There will be no more time. Figure that one out. Wait a minute. What time is it? There will be no more time. Wait a minute. I don't think I can comprehend it. That's right. There will be no more time. There will be no more days. There will be no more nights. There will be no more months. There will be no more lunar. There will be no more sun. There will be no more tides. There will be no more none of that. Is that right? I just had to get a battery for my watch yesterday. We won't need this in heaven. Time will not matter anymore. Our minds will not think in periods of time. Say, well, I can't comprehend that. Neither can I. I just know what the Bible says. If there's no more sun, no more moon, then there's no more time. Well, how will we know when a millennial, 1,000-year reign is up? You won't have to worry about it. God will take care of it all. We all right with all that? Things get pretty simple in heaven. We get a whole new brain. We get a whole new body. We get a whole new existence. And it isn't even close to the one down here. You say, well, you have to go to church in heaven? You'll be in church all the time. There won't be a time when you're not in church. If church is fellowshipping with God and being around God and hearing His wisdom, wait a minute, let's stop there for a minute. If the people around Solomon's throne are happy because they're hearing wisdom, how much more are we going to be when we're around the throne of God all the time? You talk about a happy crowd. How do you think everybody, all the seraphims and cherubims and angels, all that is going before us, how do you think they're doing right now around God's throne? If these guys are happy, happy are thy servants. Look at their apparel. Look at their meat. Look at their order. Look at everything. Hey, they get all their questions answered and everything. Hear your wisdom. Wow, I have no more spirit in me, Solomon. That is just a thumbnail of what it must be like around God's throne. We will just be struck. And maybe we'll just be astonished for 10,000 years or so. And we won't even know 10,000 years went by. I mean, maybe, somebody says, well, what do you think you're going to do when you get there? Watch. Did I get that right? That's right after I got up from being on my face for a while. And thank Him and praise Him. I think we will be, for lack of a better term, the Bible would call it astonied. That means astonished. Like Job was astonied, like a stone. I think we will be just awestruck at what goes on around God. The wisdom, the matter, and when He opens our minds to understand. One of these days we will have no more questions about this Bible. That in itself will be unbelievable. There will be no more doctoral arguments. We'll all just believe the same and understand the same. Would you agree with that? And we'll truly be in perfect harmony. Won't that be something to behold? You won't even have thoughts of anger. You say, now wait a minute, brother. I've never been to heaven before. Neither have I. But God knows how to prepare us. And if God can prepare us for that, God can prepare you for what's tomorrow. Or a month from now. Or 6 months from now. Or a year from now in this life. And God can order you. Maybe we ought to go back to childlikeness and say what we need is wisdom, understanding, enlarged heart. And Lord, you order us. You set it up. We'll do it your way. I need to show you one more scripture. Please turn to 1 Thessalonians and watch, and we'll close. Everybody all right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, file this message away for later. File it away for when you say, I don't know how to do it. I don't know what to do. File it away for when you're trying to go back and recapture something that's already gone. And don't dwell on it too long. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Watch. He knows how to order. Look at verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you, what? Wholly. But it notice it's W-H-O-L-L-Y. Meaning entirely. Meaning all of you. Meaning this. Every part of you. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. All of you. All of what you're made of. Completely all you, all your different parts, and I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body. Now, let me make a statement. Before you get saved, you don't even know you have a spirit and a soul. All you know is that you have a body. And wouldn't you agree this? Before you get saved, everything's wrapped around what the body wants. Somebody says, well, if I get saved, I don't know how to be saved. If I become a Christian, I don't know how to become a Christian. Neither did the rest of us. Did anybody here know how to be a Christian before you became one? The answer is no. Because our minds wasn't opened up to even what a spirit and a soul is. Before I got saved, I was 24 years old, and all I knew is I had a body. You feed it. You clothe it. It controls you. It rules you. It tells you what to do. Is that right? Yes or no? And then after you get saved, you realize there's more to me than a body. Now I just found out I got a spirit and I got a soul. And then the Holy Spirit says, now let's put this thing in order. Before it was body, number one priority. And after that, nothing. Now, saved human being, it's spirit, soul, and body is last. And that's ordered. Would you agree with that? Come on, talk to me. Somebody says, well, how would you get prepared for that? You can't. Because you didn't know. By the way he puts it down in here, is I'll pray you, he says, I'll sanctify you wholly, all of you, three parts. I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body. He didn't put those in there haphazardly. That's the right order. So every day we say this, you better feed your spirit. This service we just had did not feed your body. In fact, your body was saying, let's get out of here. Man, I'm sore. I'm tired of sitting here. How long is he going to talk? Man, my toe's hurting. My head's hurting. I'm beautiful. And your body's been fighting you, the flesh. But the Holy Spirit has said to your spirit, sit still. Listen, I know you're tired, but we're feeding your spirit. And you better feed your spirit. Because as your body wears down and wears out, your spirit is renewed and strengthened day by day. You know what getting old is? Let me give it to you very simply. Look up here. The outside deteriorates. Isn't that wonderful? And the inside blossoms and grows. And when the inside blossoms and grows, it takes care of the outside, but it's not going to get all upset when the outside begins to deteriorate. Because the inside already has been told that the outside is going to deteriorate. And the inside says, well, that's normal. My little girl last night, and we have a wonderful time. My little girl still, all my girls have worked on my back as we grow up. What do you mean? All my girls know how to scratch backs, massage backs. Make men's back just... My youngest is an expert. She's watched her sister. She is an expert. But I have to tell her, Daddy's back isn't as young as it used to be. Last night she says, Daddy, something's wrong with your skin. She says it's real dry and cracking. Oh, didn't that depress you? No. The spirit on the inside says that's what happens when the body deteriorates. I had my shoes off and my socks off. She's touching my feet. She said, ew. Daddy, the bottom of your feet, it's dry and cracking down there. Now that's gross, isn't it? Hey, talk to me when you're 70. Let's see your feet. You know what we'll see? Dry and cracking. Why? Because the outward man perishes. But the inward, it's renewed day by day. You say, well, how do you get ready to get old? Focus on the inside. Do the best on the outside, but it's a losing battle. Do the best you can with the outside, but you in the long run, if all you're concerned with the outside, you'll lose. Are we all right with that? Oh, I'm getting so depressed. No, this is wonderful. I think I'll go get my hair styled. I remember a few years ago, I said to the barber, I need a pretty good haircut, and would you trim the top? He started laughing. He said, it's already pretty thin. I'm saying, what you're saying is there's nothing to trim. He said, that's about right. Reality hit. Haircuts don't take very long anymore. In the morning, comb your hair. And I don't care as you get older, if you're a man, I don't know what it's like to be a woman with older hair, but with a man with yellow, comb it and brush it and you brush it, there'll still be one gray when they'll stick straight up. Best thing to do, get your scissors out and just cut that puppy. You're not going to train it anyway. It's out of control. Listen, I got hair growing out my nose now that's never happened before.
What are you laughing at? I never had that problem before. I mean, 2 years ago, the barber said, you want me to trim your nose hairs? I said, what? What are you talking about? This body does weird things. Now, my family's right now saying, Dad, you're making a fool of yourself. Doesn't bother me at all. Because on the inside, it's all right with God. On the inside, everything's all right. I'm going to get old, but I'm going to do something while I'm getting old. You get more power in your prayers, you get more frail. There's less distraction as that body gets older. There's less things that interest you. You can really get focused on having a walk with God. The magazines don't interest you much anymore. Same old stuff you've been reading for 20 years. But this book becomes more interesting. There's more in here that interests me than any other book in the world. And I've been reading this thing for 20 years, and there's more in there that interests me now than ever before. I'm more interested in the world now, but not worldliness. I'm more interested in reaching the world now, but not worldliness. If you haven't been saved yet, this will all make sense if you'll do something very simply. Ask Christ to forgive you of your sins. And don't worry about how you're supposed to be after you get saved. He'll take you there. None of us knew either. But He can make you to become. And I can say this in closing. It's better after you're saved than before you're saved. Trying to preserve your body, do your best. Hey, I still work out. I still do it, but it hurts more. And it doesn't last as long. Pump it up. Pump it up. Pump it up. 2 days later, it's all back down again. Some of you young people, you can pump it up. It'll stay up for 2 or 3 weeks. As you get older, pump it up. Man, pump that bicep up. Hold it up like that. About 2 days later, watch it sag. And it hurts. You can turn like this and throw your back out. Got to be careful. Got to go slow. You can bend over and bend back up and go, oh, and be down for 3 days. Welcome. And so you young people say, man, that's a lot to look forward to. That is life. That is life. I'm not going to be like one of those Hollywood stars that hides the last 20 years of my life because I don't want anybody to see me old. How ridiculous. That'll ruin my image. Like we care. It's the internal person that's growing and blossoming and that God wants to use. All this body is doing is carrying around the important stuff on the inside. Welcome to a group that's not lazy and that's not done. We're going somewhere and we're doing something. Why don't you come along with your heads bowed? Memorial Day. It's Memorial Day weekend. Thanks for coming to church. Thanks for listening to the Word of God and the preaching a bit. You may not need it today. You may need it tomorrow when you wake up. You may be going through it right now. You're not done yet, sister, brother. You may be facing something you never faced before. You may be facing responsibility or something that God's stirring around inside of you that you're wondering how you could ever do it. because you've never done it before. I'll say it again. Something may be stirring inside of you, and you may be wondering what and how you would do it because you've never done it before. Neither have the rest of us, but God can take us along and show us. And with God and abiding, and with the rest of us pooling our efforts together, we could be happy servants of the Lord. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, if just one or two of you out here today, it's worth this whole service. If you don't know for sure, if you've ever asked God to forgive your sins from your heart, realizing that you broke His law, if you don't know for sure, with the Holy Spirit bearing witness inside, I'm not talking about something man-made, or I'm talking about the real, genuine witness of the Spirit of God within you saying, you're saved, you're forgiven, you're on your way to heaven. If you don't have that, would you at least let me pray for you this morning on this Memorial Day weekend? You came to church. Wouldn't hurt to let someone pray for you. If that's you today and you're unsure, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, would you slip up your hand right now and just say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure about that. Good. Someone else, honestly. I'll pray for you. Don't need to know your name. Good. You may put them down. Anybody else? Lord, we've been there. They don't know how. We didn't know how. But you brought us along and you can bring them along. May you show them from within their need. And from their heart, may they confess to you their forgiveness and repentance of their sin. And Lord, we know you know how to do the rest. And then when you begin to make those changes within that only you can do, Father, to make them all that you want them to become, and to give them a life that's prosperous and joyous and useful to thee. And for the rest of us, Lord, as we're facing that which is just in the near future, just in front of us, may we be all that we can be for the rest of our lives. And may we come to you like Solomon did as a little child, even now and today, and say, I don't know how to come out, and I don't know how to come in, and I don't know how to lead, and I don't know how to be what I'm supposed to be next. And I don't know how to be a grandpa or grandma, or I don't know how to be a great grandmother or grandmother, or I don't know how to be a this or that, or I don't know how to be a 19 or 20 year old, or I don't know how to be a young married person, or I don't know how to be a young father, a young mother, I don't know how to be a Sunday school teacher, I don't know how to be a missionary, I don't know how to be a business leader, I don't know how to do what you've just promoted me to do, I don't know how to do that. And may I remind you, God knows all that, and Lord, we know you know all that, and you can make us what you want us to be. Whether it's for yourself or somebody you know. Let's open up the altar. If you raise your hand, you come. Let's take a Bible and show you some things. The rest of y'all, it's Memorial Day. It's time to have a little prayer. If you want to pray right where you're at, if you'd like to come, husband, wife, families, let's all stand to our feet. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Let's let the instruments play a little bit. If you want to pray right where you're at, do that. If you want a little help, you want to use an altar this morning, we'll dismiss in a very, very short period of time. But let's take our time today. You raise your hand for salvation. Come. Just say, excuse me. I need